Blog Talk Radio.
The Initiative Radio Network proudly presents the Ant Canary Experience, hosted by Brother Anthony.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
It's 10 o'clock. Normally I'm here at 8 o'clock, but I had some family issues to take care of, so I didn't want to be late or anything, so I had to push the time back. Actually, I had the time pushed back to 9:30, that way to give me time to get situated and everything. Well, I came home kind of early. It didn't take me as long as I thought it was going to take. Actually, I could have started the show at 8 o'clock like I always do. But since I had the show started slated at 9:30, I went ahead and said, yeah, okay. So I did a few things. So I get on early to get the show started, and the show and they wouldn't let me come in. So this is why you're hearing me at 10 o'clock instead of 9:30. So something funky is going on with the system. Matter of fact, I was about to shut it down and just say, well, I'll just do this next week. But I kept messing with it, and for some reason, it just put me on at 10 o'clock instead of 9:30. So I don't know what's going on. So, but anyway, I'm here. I'm going to try to get the show off like I had it planned, even though it's a few hours late. I apologize. I figured I'd rather be a little late than not give you a show at all. So I'm here, even though, you know, I thought so, you know, somebody's trying to sabotage the mission, but it ain't going to work tonight. So I'm here. So if you want to call me, 914-803-4571, 914-803-4571. As a matter of fact, Sister Pam is on the phone, so I'm going to bring her in because I was messaging the family on Facebook to let them know what was going on, and she helped me. So I'm going to bring her on. Hey, Sister Pam, I appreciate your help. I'm glad I'm on. This thing was not doing what I wanted it to do, and I didn't know what was going on with it.
Okay, give me 1 second to get my earpiece in.
Okay.
Yes, sir. How you doing tonight?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm doing fine. I'm glad you got the show up and started because we definitely want to hear. Sometimes technology is what it is. But nevertheless,
yeah.
You're on. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And
I'll
also, the updated number did you give them the 563 number? To call in 563-999-3682, brother.
Okay, yeah, because it's shown on the board the old number, so yeah, let me give out.
Right.
Make sure to get that number out. 563-999-3682. That's the new number.
Yes.
I don't know why they didn't.
Yes, sir. I've been updated. I don't either. They have been done almost since a year, and not that it has been changed. So I just wanted to, you know, that give you that number so everyone could be able to call in. Yes, sir.
Yeah, maybe that's why nobody called, because I was giving out the new number, that number, and the old number, so they have the old number. I don't know.
It's okay.
I think the man is trying to sabotage our mission or something. I don't know what's going on. Anyway,
okay.
So.
That's right.
I'm glad to be here. You know, I didn't think I was going to be on tonight, but I'm glad to be here, so I got less than 2 hours, so I want to go ahead and get cranked up, make sure I get everything on. I was getting a little bit disappointed because I think I got a pretty decent show tonight, pretty important show tonight. So we're gonna get this started. Let me give out that call in number. Then I'm gonna do the ad. Then we're gonna jump right into this. 563-999-3682. 563-999-3682, and I did manage to get the chat room open, so it's open, and it's looks like it's operating, so that's good. Looks like trying to see what time. Oh, okay. Looks like it's got me down. Okay, so it looks like the show is going to end at 11:30. All right, instead of 12, even though I have. You see, like I said, I don't know what's going on with this. Okay, so I guess my time limit is 11:30 tonight. Okay, so that's good. That's cool. We're gonna get this started. So what I want to do, we're going to do the show like we always do. I'm going to do the ad right quick, get the ad done. We're going to get back in, talk a little bit. I'm going to do this week's Trump Disc, and then I've got clips to play for you tonight. And, oh, yeah, in case I didn't mention, tonight's topic is entitled Athletes and Activism. Because if you're not a sports fan, you might be hearing in the news what's going on. Colin Kaepernick. If you are a sports fan, that's all you've been hearing about. And I've talked about this issue a number of times, and I feel that it's important to talk about it again, because I think I think he's getting treated unfairly. I think a lot of the criticism that people are putting on him is bogus. I think a lot of these angry white dudes, mostly, when I ask them what they're mad about, they don't seem to know what they're mad about. So we're going to get into that in just a second. So let me go ahead and play our ad, and then we're going to get into this, since I'm going to be short 30 minutes. So I want to go ahead and make sure that I get everything out, that we get a good idea what the topic is about and what I'm talking about tonight. So we're going to kind of do this fast, but I still want to get the message out, unfortunately. But I will be back next week at regular time, so don't have to worry about that. Like I said earlier, I just didn't want to. I don't like doing the show half-assed. I like to give you the entire 2 hours, so I didn't want to mess that up. So I'm going to play the commercial, be right back, jump into the topic, do our thing, and get this rolling. So I'll be back.
In February of 1926, historian Carter G. Woodson launched Negro History Week, which later became Black History Month. On the Aunt Canary Experience, we celebrate Black History 12 months a year. Hi, I'm Aunt Canary, host of the Aunt Canary Experience, the show for all things about our history, not his story. On the Experience, we also talk about current events that affect the Black community in the country. So join me every Tuesday night from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. to get your weekly Black History lesson. You can listen live or call me at 563-999-3682. I talk about topics that schools are afraid to tell our children about. That's every Tuesday night, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Please check out the Aunt Canary Experience.
Okay, so what I'm going to do, since I think I'm going to be pressed for time and I want to get all these clips in because they've got a lot of information, I want to get these in. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to kind of speed it up just a tad, since I don't have the whole 2 hours. I allotted for the whole 2 hours, but for some reason it's not going to give it to me. But what I want to do, I want to do the weekly Trump diss. I'm probably not going to play this entire clip. It's about a 10-minute clip, so I'm not going to play the entire thing. But the reason why I want to play it tonight is I want you to hear what this clown had to say, and you probably already heard it already. He said about a police, about how, when the police put, suspects in the car, you can rough them up and all that. See, let me tell you something about this clown. This clown is not a real president. He's a douche. He's not my president. I didn't vote for him. I think he's a piece of shit. And now he's out here telling these cops that they can rough up these suspects. Number one, you can't do that. Everybody has rights. Even though some people have broken the law or whatever, you still cannot treat them like shit. This is the thing. This is the exact thing that Colin Kaepernick and other people are talking about, police brutality. And this clown gets in front of a bunch of cops and says this mess, and then these knuckleheads that are standing behind them, if you've seen the clip, are standing there clapping like it's some kind of joke. This is not a joke. But the president is a joke. He's a joke. So I'm going to play some of this. I'm not going to play the whole thing since I'm pressed for time. I'm not going to play the whole thing, but I want you to hear this. And you're going to hear people in the background discussing or whatever. But I just want you to hear this clown. Let me just play this and I'll be back.
Before the president announced his new chief of staff this afternoon, he delivered a speech on Long Island, New York, about his administration's efforts to crack down on violent gangs. To a crowd of police officers, many standing behind him, the president seemed to offer some advice on how to treat suspects.
And when you see these towns, and when you see these thugs being thrown into the back of a paddy wagon, you just see them thrown in, rough. I said, please don't be too nice. Like when you guys put somebody in the car and you're protecting their head, you know, the way you put their hand over. Like, don't hit their head and they've just killed somebody, don't hit their head. I said, you can take the hand away, okay?
Well, it didn't go over well with the brass from the police agency in the crowd who posted these tweets. Quote, the Suffolk County Police Department has strict rules and procedures relating to the handling of prisoners, and violations of those rules and procedures are treated extremely seriously. As a department, we do not and will not tolerate roughing up prisoners. Back now with the panel. It was interesting because you didn't see it in that clip, but in a number of instances, the police officers behind the president were applauding what were either political statements or statements that are, you know, were later disavowed by the authorities.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I think that there are a lot of people who are paying a very close eye to how Donald Trump is interacting with the military and law enforcement. I think for people who are concerned about his relationship there and the way that he addresses them and speaks with them, that's a concerning scene to see police officers. You know, the thing that, I mean, that comment obviously stands on its own, but when he said the thing about Obamacare and how he was going to repeal Obamacare and the police officers were clapping behind him, that was unusual. That's not the sort of thing you see. And it also echoed back to last week when he was commissioning an aircraft carrier and he encouraged the people in the audience, members of the military, to lobby their senators and congressmen on the health care bill. These are not normal things for presidents to do, and I think it's will strike a lot of critics of Donald Trump in a very bad way.
Yeah, the Suffolk County Police Department wasn't just them. The International Association of Chiefs of Police issued a statement tonight that said, in part, law enforcement officers are trained to treat all individuals, whether they're complainant, suspect, or defendant, with dignity and respect.
You know, given the environment that we're in this country, where police officers, the good ones, are under attack because of what some incidents that have happened, and the dynamics between police and communities, the discussion that's been going on for a couple of years since Ferguson really set that off. This is so disrespectful to the men and women who go out there every day and conduct themselves with character, integrity, and dignity and take their job very seriously. To have the President of the United States encouraging them to basically engage in police brutality. You know, I mean, that is just, it's un-American. It's very dictatorial, very, you know, very something you see in, you know, places like Venezuela or somewhere where you have these dictators that rough people up. I mean, that's not America. And I was sad to see those officers. I mean, I think maybe they were kind of caught up in the moment and stuff, but they should not have been clapping there. That's not a good representation. And given Donald Trump's history on this issue of telling, you know, at rallies, rough up protesters and things, this is really awful. And I think this would probably get more attention if there hadn't been other things going on. But he should apologize to the men and women who do their jobs well and don't do that kind of
regarding
stuff.
Regarding the clapping, I do think it's true. I think most police officers supported Donald Trump over Hillary Clinton. So there's no question
yes.
They personally support the president. I also think that, to agree with you, the tension between police and the citizenry that exists is one of the most worrisome civil problems we have. And I agree. The police feel like right now in their interactions that go wrong, they are guilty until proven innocent. You hear that if you talk to individual cops. However, we as conservatives have to be very worried about a government that would feel like it's fine to rough people up,
citizens that
aren't yet convicted of anything.
That's right.
And if you're a
when
small
it's
government
you
conservative,
who's actually
that's
being put into the police. Yeah. I mean, it's one thing to say, "Oh yeah, somebody's committed murder," when you are actually, you know, the one being put in the police car, rightly or wrongly, and.
But he's judging them at that point.
But here's the thing.
Don't do that.
You're right. It is completely appalling because what he essentially did was endorse police brutality. But this is par for the course for this president, for somebody who actually endorses violence and has done so at rallies, and for also somebody who calls himself the law enforcement president and who talks about and you know, this is great, how great our police officers are and that they need to be protected and all of that, which is absolutely true, but he has never, ever talked about the other side of the equation, which are the people who are roughed up by police. And that's why you see these kinds of conversations will never move toward helping Donald Trump in communities of color where people have felt abused by police and thinking that this is a president who has their back.
Mark?
Yeah, and just sort of riffing off of communities of color and what we need to be worried about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was there to highlight the existence of criminal gangs. And what he was actually doing is he was highlighting the existence of a criminal gang that is South American, El Salvadorian, that absolutely has started in the United States, in LA, but has spread, frankly,
right.
through the incarceration system all throughout
right.
Central South America. And many of these, most of the victims of these crimes are actually affinity crimes. They're individuals from other countries. Sometimes they're citizens of this country, sometimes they're not. Of course, American citizens get caught up, and every violent criminal who is here should be deported, and they are on borrowed time. But there is a political move here to highlight people who aren't white,
mm-hmm.
I think minorities,
mm-hmm.
and to feed part of this really white nationalist political political support of Donald Trump. And if this overstates, I think, what the real problem is,
yep.
we have violent crimes and criminal gangs here in the United States as well, full of white people that you could be talking about. This really wasn't a law and order speech in that sense. This was really had a political undertone.
Well, interesting with the president's use of the term law and order.
Yeah.
I think
mm-hmm.
in many communities, particularly communities of color, wonder what law for who, what is the
an
exact order.
And
this is the guy who came out in favor of stopping Frisco Pizza on the campaign trail. But to put a fine point on what Margaret's saying is this rally was intended to tie immigrants to crime.
Yeah.
That's why this thing existed. He singled out this particular gang. He repeatedly inflated numbers. He said there were X number of people that committed these crimes. However, there were 4,000 people that moved into Suffolk County from this area. There were 150,000 young people that came into the country. And he implied, he directly tied 150,000 kids that came from Central America to people that murdered people. And then he told these really grotesque tales that he told last week in Ohio as well about people being caught up with knives and beautiful young girls. I mean, the rhetoric itself, that rhetoric to me was much more disconcerting than his comment about
it.
Not to minimize the brutality that MS-13 is, and I worked on.
Okay. I just want to end it right there because, you know, that's how Freddie Gray in Baltimore was killed. He was thrown in the back of a police van, and they had his back broken. Well, this clown is getting up in front of cops talking police brutality, and they're sitting there clapping and cheering like they're at some kind of a pep rally or something. This president is full of shit. I'm not sorry to say it. I'm just going to say it. Looks like Brother C is on the line. Hey, what's up, Brother C?
Hey, peace and blessings. Grandma, how y'all doing tonight?
Hey, what's going on?
Fine. Hi, Brother C.
Hey, Sister Pam. I caught the tail end of that. And it's like, you know, at this moment in time, you know, let's go back to Nazi Germany, you know, and let's think about the SS. You know, and how they were under orders from Hitler, you know, and the things that were going on within the political, you know, realm at that moment in time. I'm sure Hitler was inspiring his troops too, you know. It's like, you know, this president is clearly anti-black, you know. It's like when he, what was it, you know, that rape case in New York where I think it was the five defendants were innocent.
Central Park.
It's like, you know, he took out a paid ad, you know, saying all this crazy stuff, how they should be killed and all this craziness, you know, and they were innocent, you know. He has a long history being just flat out, I hate niggas, you know. And so it's like, you know, as a community, while we listening to their well articulated, you know, responses to, you know, their shock and awe at the, you know, how could, you know, a president, that's just, a president, he should apologize. Motherfuckers, we out here getting killed in the streets.
Mm-hmm.
These people are killing us. And it's like, you know, we can't get distracted as a community at this moment in time, you know, by their flowery words and their well-articulated statements and their, you know, their well-planned-out little speeches, then it's like we can't get distracted on what's really going on, you know? We have to pay attention. We have to be focused. We have to correlate the present to the past and understand what's going on at this moment in time. You know, these fools are acting like fools, and they declared war on us openly now, you know? Hey, do it. Do this. And it's like they're empowering the lowest parts of the society, the racists and all the little, you know, the guys who can't make it. It's like, well, hey, there's your problem. And it's like, no, that's not the problem. The problem is capitalism, you know. The problem is a system of slavery, you know. While you're talking about individual cops and whether they're good or bad, they all evil. They all are operating a system of legalized slavery that dates back to chattel slavery. It's traded on Wall Street. It's like, if we don't see this moment in time clearly, it ain't like we got, you know, I've been talking about this for about 3 years, you know. It's like, it ain't like we got a lot of time, dude. These things are happening in our lifetime. And if it's happening now, what direction is it going to go in the future for our children? We have children that we love. You know, they got to live their lives. And it's like, what direction is it going to go for our children if we don't hold down the fort right now? If we don't start taking these threats seriously, you know? It's like, man, you threaten me? Hey, you got a problem. You did? But see, right now, you know, there's a segment there's a split within the black community, you know. It's like you have your African-Americans, and then you got black people, you know. Black people understand what's going on at this moment in time. Black people understand this is an evil system. Black people understand that these police are not, you know, being brutal. They're terrorists in our community. They're occupying our community. It's not gentrification. It's a land grab, you know, like Chairman Fred Hampton Jr. says. Saying that this is an orchestrated war against our community. And it's like when you see the President of the United States getting up there talking all this crazy, it's like, yeah, all right, man. We've been through too much hell. We are too tough a people. For a 10-year-old to walk to school, you got to be, you know, a damn near soldier. It's like, went through all this bullshit. And then having these motherfuckers sitting there in our faces and threatening us like this, it's like, nah, you know, we're not having it this time. Fuck it. You know, it'll be 400 years. It'll be 400 years in 2019, you know, when, you know, of our enslavement and mistreatment and terrorism and murder and raping our parents and grandparents and all this crazy. It's like, it'll be 400 years, you know, in 2019. So it's like, at what moment in time are we going to stand up, get some balls, and say, fuck this shit, fuck these motherfuckers, you dig? Y'all motherfuckers are not civil. Your society is not balanced. It's not just. It's an unjust, evil social reality built around the root of all evil, greed. You run around the world crying peace, peace, like you're the peacemakers and you're making everything better. But all you're doing is making mischief, like the Quran says. Like, at some moment in time, we got to stand up and understand this and see it clearly. And it's like, no, I don't want to hear what they got to say about my situation. I want to hear what we got to say about our situation. I want to hear what we got to say about what this president said. You know, listening to them, it's like they've been smiling in our faces and killing us for hundreds of years. Yeah, hi, yeah. Oh, well, no, we don't want to do that. Well, we're not going to. It's like, at some moment in time, we got to stand up and say, hey, enough is enough. And this is that moment in time. And people are starting to understand it. So now you got all the street organizations coming together and making peace and starting to say, hey, we all in the same gang. But now we got to get to the middle class and start filtering out who wants to go which way. It's like, you want to be down with America? Take your ass over there. Go on, you American. You know, you African-American. Go that way with them. Get away from us, though. Because there's about to be a class warfare within America, within the black community, to separate the Americans, those that believe in America, and we can just work hard in the system. And, you know, I want to keep my house and my car. It's like, nah, for some people, it's too late for all that, you know? It's like we out here dying in the streets, being killed by police. Now they got the racists all up in arms and stirred them up. Yeah, get them. And so now you see little, hey, getting puffy, you know. Yeah, well, hey, you, I'm not scared of you, motherfucker. You got to get the fuck out of my face, you dig? Like, we have to hurry up before this shit gets way out of disproportion and start responding appropriately to this conversation. All these little bitch moves, these little, well, hey, let's go march. Let's hold your hands up. This is a war. You standing there, they got guns. They got paramilitary. Let's start taking this a little more seriously, because the future, the children, our grandchildren, their lives all of that, you know? And so while this society is going, well, you know, that's really disconcerting. It's disconcerting that the president would say something like that, you know? It just bothers me, you know? It's not American. You think that's American? I don't think that's American. Motherfuckers, y'all can talk all that shit you want to talk. We out here dying, you know? We out here being murdered. We having to console mothers, you know, whose sons are being murdered in the streets. You got people in prison using sanitary napkins over and over and being terrorized and tortured in prison in a system of slavery. It's like, at some point, at this point, it ain't at some, it ain't no future, it's at this point. It was really 10 years ago. But it's like, at this moment in time, we gotta get this right real quick. And, you know me, I'll talk forever, man. So I'm going to go ahead and wrap it up like that. But it's like, you know, when I talk to Dr. Jones, you know, I try to, you know, remind him that he's a black, you know, historian. Important for us to see history from our point of view, from our terrorized, tortured, raped, enslaved, from our point of view. And if you can't see this moment in time from our point of view, you're going over there with them, you know? Going over there with Omarosa and Ben Carson, and you all just go over there and you go and be good house niggas, you know? Get the fuck away from us, dude, because this shit is real. With that, I'm going to go ahead and yield. Free them all. Peace and blessings.
Yep. Exactly right. Exactly right. Got another phone call, so I'm going to go ahead and grab it right quick. Let's see. Okay. Hello, caller. Welcome to the show.
Peace and blessings, Brother Anthony. How you doing?
Hey, what's up? You must got a new phone number or something.
Nah, somebody has to piggyback me in because I couldn't get in on my own, so I had to get piggybacked in. Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
Okay.
How you doing, big brother?
Yeah, I'm fine. I was bugging because I was like, somebody trying to sabotage the show. Wouldn't he let me get in? I was like, man, it's like I was doing everything I was supposed to be doing. Everything. I was like, what in the world is going on? And I said it for 9:30, and 10 o'clock it comes on. I don't know what, you know. I don't know. But anyway, I'm here. So what's going on, brother?
You know, I was listening. I heard the clip that you played, and I didn't. I don't think I've ever heard that part of it, where you had the people in the back, you know, trying to explain what we just got finished listening to, and you know, really, they should have had Brother C on there and let him give the explanation of what we just listened to from Donald Trump. You know, I don't expect anything different from him. You know, that's what I expect. But the sad part of it for me is listening to, you know, the people try to explain or give their understanding of what's going on when the black girl said, well, this is not America. Yeah, I was wondering, like, if that's not America, well, then what is it? Because America and police brutality goes hand in hand. The way America came to birth was not a righteous birth. It was not a birth that was clean. It was not a birth that was good or upright. It was a birth that was mired in murder and thievery and robbing. So you have a president now, and the police and their hypocritical self come out and say, well, you know, we don't believe this, we don't believe that. They need to shut the hell up because they do believe in it. They're just not man and woman enough to be like Trump and say it. They want to be politically correct and say our policies don't go with this, the way we treat our prisoners. Bullshit. You do that shit every day. You do it every day and worse and worse. So, you know, when Trump came and he said he had a deal, he said, I have a new deal for black people. And when I heard him say that, I start asking people right away, why did he make a delineation between African-Americans and black people? his thing was, he said, for African Americans, we're going to reduce your taxes. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. And for black people, we got a new deal for you. And I was asking people, why did he say that? Why did he make a clear distinction between the two groups of people? As Brother C said, there is a split. There has always been a split. You always have had that split in America when it comes to black people. You've had the house nigger and you had the field nigger. You always have the split. The African American, they believe in the promise of America. So the girl that was on explaining what we was listening to from President Trump, she was an African American. See, Brother C, that we got finished listening to, is a black person. He ain't African American. He doesn't believe in this system is going to do right by us. I'm not an African American. I don't believe that this system is going to do right by us. I expect this system to do exactly what they say that they're going to do. I expect them to treat us that way. So the thing is, what are we going to do? Are we going to let the African Americans lead us back to sleep, lead us the way that doesn't work? Or are we going to become one and understand the message of the field nigger? Are we going to understand that message? Because in all sincerity, Trump ain't playing. He ain't playing. He means what he says. He means it. So when you got an enemy that's telling you, I'm going to kick your ass, and I'm not going to have mercy on you, are you not going to believe the words coming out of his mouth? You're going to say that, he don't really mean it. Well, you want to say that, oh, my God, that's not the American way. That's not our system. The hell it is. Gee, we better wake up very quickly and start to think very soberly. Because as Brother C said, we're at war, and they coming to kill you. This ain't a thing where you can, you know, do your magic wand and say, I don't want to see it. They are coming to kill you. We put on Wednesday program, one of them, we did some of the quotes from Mad Dog, whatever his name, Mathis. And he's a killer for real. And they said they were sending him into Chicago. He ain't playing. But you want to still play when the enemy's saying, I'm coming, and I'm not coming to kiss you. I'm coming to kill you. I'm going to meet you with violence. I'm going to meet you with violence. And not this little violence that you think that you're capable of. I'm going to meet you with that real deal violence that we bring to other countries and bring them to their knees. We're going to bring violence. Oh, yeah. They coming. And when they come, if you think that they coming to love you, you better have you some life insurance because you coming to die. And with that, I rest my mind.
I'm going to say that his press secretary comes out and literally says that what he said was a joke. That the way he said it, he didn't say it like he meant it. He said it as like it was a joke. And my thing is, okay, I know what a joke is. I know what a joke sounds like. So if he was sitting there telling it was a joke, he would have said it was a joke. But he didn't do that. So that means he wasn't telling a damn joke. He meant that. And you're exactly right. And I kind of got into this on social media today, It's like, uh-uh. He wasn't telling a joke. He meant what he said because he said it. Because if I tell a joke, my thing is before I tell it, like, yo, I got a joke I'm going to tell you. Or I'll tell it a joke, and then at the end I'll say, yeah, I was just playing. It was a joke. He did not do any of that. And if you see that video, the cops behind them are clapping, and they're smiling, and they think it's funny, and they agree with him. This clown ain't playing. And he's stupid enough to, you know, hey, y'all go out there and do what y'all want to do. And this is exactly what this program is about tonight. What Colin Kaepernick is doing, he is protesting against police brutality, and everybody that's mad at him, that if you see on the sports channels, if you get on social media, it seems like everybody that's mad at him for doing this are white folk. That's it. Mean white people. And they're just mad about it because he's bringing something to light. And then what they try to deflect it and say that he's protesting against the flag, which is not what he's doing. And I talked about this. I played this clip already. He is talking about police brutality. And that's why I'm talking about this tonight, because you got a president telling cops, be brutal. And then you've got other people saying, no, that's not right. This stuff needs to stop. So, you know, this world, especially this country, this shit is turned upside down, topsy-turvy. I just don't understand it. And then there are people out there trying to justify it, and they're trying to explain it away instead of trying to, fix the problem. They don't want to fix the problem because they know that, you know, that once you get people, you know, it's kind of like one of those things is, you know, if you're doing something underhanded and you're trying to be slick about it, and then all of a sudden somebody finds out about it, and then you want to try to be even slicker and pretend that you're not doing what you're doing, that's kind of what this is. The man has said he's protesting police brutality. And this is not the first time an athlete has done this. Muhammad Ali did the same thing. You know, he had to give up his title because he said he wasn't going to the Vietnam War to fight against other people that ain't done nothing to him. But these phony-ass patriots is what I call them, that are sitting there yakking about this stuff about Colin Kaepernick. These are the same clowns that are coming, oh, yeah, Ali is the greatest. We love Ali. You know, see, these people are phony. They're two-faced. You know, they get up here, and it's the same argument with these people day in and day out. I'm telling you, day in and day out. I got into a couple of Twitter wars this weekend, and I don't do Twitter, but I will tell you this. If you want a good laugh every day, I mean, if you have days that, you know, really piss you off and people are just getting on your nerves and you need a good laugh, follow Donald Trump on Twitter. That is some funny shit. This guy is a clown straight up. He is stupid. Read some of the stuff that he puts on this thing, and then look at the times that he puts it on, 3:30 in the morning, 4 o'clock in the morning. This man, his wife ain't giving him none, so he ain't got nothing better to do but get on Twitter early in the morning and put on stupid tweets. He's a clown. So follow him on Twitter if you get a chance, because I'm telling you, I have days sometimes that just, you know, piss me off that aren't, you know, ain't going like I want them to. I get on Twitter and read some of his comments, and I get a laugh because this guy is stupid. He's got to be one of the dumbest presidents we ever had. So I'm on Twitter this weekend getting in these Twitter battles with these knuckleheads talking about Colin Kaepernick and what he's doing. And I make it as plain. I don't make it any plainer than what I'm saying right now. He is not talking about the military or the flag, but I do say that the national anthem is racist. And I've done the show on that, and I won't stand up for that. I won't even sing it. I don't even acknowledge that. I don't acknowledge the person that wrote it, and I don't acknowledge the song because it's written by a racist asshat that owns slaves. So when he talks about land of the free, home of the brave, he's talking about white people being free because he damn sure ain't talking about the slaves and every, you know, black people back in the day. So I don't even acknowledge that clown. But that's not what he's talking. He's talking about police brutality. Freddie Gray died in the back of a police van because they threw him in the back of it, and then they went driving around town all crazy, and it broke his back and it killed him. Then you have other people
Philando Castile, shot for no reason. You know, thing, and I've said this before. You know, when that white woman got shot, all of a sudden, All Lives Matter and Blue Lives Matter, you don't hear peep out of those assholes. But I guarantee you, if the roles were flipped, they'd be all over the place. But see, they pick their battles. You know, they open their mouths and they spew this garbage. You know, they know what they're doing. They know exactly what they're doing. So I agree with Colin Kaepernick. I've already said it. I agree with him. And then you can get online and look for pictures of other people doing the same thing he's doing. So he's not the only one out there doing this. There are other people doing it. Black and white people are doing it. So there's other people doing it. And there's other people speaking out about it. But it's just the same racist assholes out there that every time you bring this up, they want to sit there and start yakking about the military and all this kind of. And I say to them, you know, you so hung up on this military thing that you think we got the greatest military in the world and all this kind of stuff. Why don't you find a black veteran from World War II, if there are any still alive, and I think there may be a few. Why don't you find one of them and ask them how they were treated when they got back over here from going overseas, from fighting the war, and how they got treated when they came back in 1945, 1946. Ask them how they were treated. They got treated like shit. So you so hung up on the military that you think the military is so great and we can't speak out against it or whatever. Ask them how they were treated when they came back. They were treated like shit, but you won't say nothing about that. You know, you want to sit up and keep bringing up the same lame argument that, you know, he's taking a knee against the military, which he is not. You know, you're mad at him for taking a knee, but why don't you get mad at him? Why don't you get mad at the reason why he's taking the knee? Because of stuff like this, you got a president out there actively telling cops to mistreat people that get arrested. You know, at his rallies, he was doing basically the same thing, telling people to, you know, kick him out of here, fight him, you know, all this other kind of crap. So he thinks this is cute, and his followers think that is cute, you know. And I got into a little dispute. One, the guy, you know, my thing is, whenever you get online and you do this kind of thing, the easiest way, if you want to, I don't know if you want to win the battle or whatever, but the easiest way to shut these people up is to give them facts. You know, don't make up stuff, don't embellish anything. Just give them the straight up facts, and that'll shut them up. So this one guy, he wants to, you know, go off on disrespecting the military and all this other kind of crap. So I went ham on him. And I could tell I won because the last thing he said was, okay, well, I'm going to bed now, or some mess like that, because he got tired of me giving him facts instead of arguing with him. I didn't argue with him. I gave him facts. If you give them straight up facts, then, you know, they have nothing to say, you know. And then there's one guy, he gets on there, and he's talking about Eric Garner, you know. And I told him, I was like, are you sitting here telling me that it's okay in this country for somebody to be killed for selling cigarettes? So this asshole comes back and talking about, well, if he wouldn't have resisted, he wouldn't have been killed. I came back at him. All that cop had to do when he had him on the ground, he said he couldn't breathe, was get up off of him. They could have picked him up, and if they want to arrest him, they could have picked him up after they had him on the ground, put the handcuffs on him, and then they could have arrested him. Nobody should die over cigarettes. Period. You know, so you got people like this out here, and you know, they always want to sit there and put it on the victim, but they don't want to put it on the people out there doing the killing. But that's why you keep hearing the same thing about Michael Brown. I keep hearing the same thing about, and I've heard some asshole, and it pissed me off, talking about, well, Philando Castile, he shouldn't have reached. He wasn't reaching for anything. You know, it's the same thing with these people. They always want to blame the victim until they're white.
And then when they're white, then all of a sudden you have it, well, you know, oh, you know, speaking of the white woman that was killed, and nobody should be killed, but, you know, with her it was different because what they did was they tried to make her seem sympathetic. You know, they did the opposite with her. So if she was a black woman, then they would have probably bought up everything that she ever did in her life in the past. You know that they the role. But for her, you know, she was innocent. You know, and then somebody had to bring up, or you know, she couldn't have been that innocent because they forgot about Tamir Rice. So
okay.
This is a game that they think like. Yes, ma'am.
Yes, you're absolutely, right. I mean, Donald Trump, and what I do respect about him, he is who he is. He doesn't lie about the devilishness of, you know, what he feels. And so, therefore, we can know, if you know what a person is about, you know what their ideology or what they stand for, then we can better combat that. And so we know what we're working with. It doesn't matter what we do or don't do. They're out for our blood, and until we internalize that and realize that and unify that for those that have like mine. I'm not talking about every black person on earth because some of them have that same ideology or mindset as he does. But for those that are going to unify, come together, like I say, and make changes that we need to make in order to combat this and to win this war, and then, hey, we know what we're working with. And also with that, Brother Anthony, you do have questions that are coming in.
Okay.
So, yes, sir, would you like to take one or two of them right now?
Yeah. I'll go ahead and take. Okay. I'll take a couple of them right now.
Okay. This is from Brink. Would he have handled everything the exact same way if he knew it might cost him his football career? Hell, no, he wouldn't do it. And this you know because you win it.
Oh my goodness! This is real simple. This is real simple. I've been watching football for a long time. Not too long ago, they didn't have the teams out on the field when the national anthem was being played. The teams were in the locker room. They played the national anthem, and then after it was over, the teams came out on the field. Now the NFL had some kind of setup where they got with the military and they're trying to recruit or whatever. So this is why they're doing what they're doing. Now, to these people that all of a sudden have an issue with him taking the knee, would it make you feel better if he was in the locker room and he took the knee in the locker room where you couldn't see him? This man, he's giving money to charity. He's done all kinds of things. So these people that are criticizing him, what have you done? Have you given any money to charity? You know, have you gone out and given away some of your personal property to people that need it or anything? So a lot of this stuff is not about money. I think a lot of people are just trying to put it on money, you know, trying to put some kind of value on it. It's not all those times. It's not all about money. You know, what's the saying? You know, if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. He's making a stand. And I give him credit for it. Would I do that? I don't know. Maybe I would. I mean, I'm sitting here now at 5 minutes to 11 talking about it, and I've talked about this before. I'm doing something about it. I'm trying to make people aware of it, if you know, and I know other people are talking about it all the time, but I'm talking about it. So I applaud him for what he's doing. You know,
yes,
and then the people that have a problem with it, these are the people that they don't care. You know, these are the same people that are mad about, you know, got to have a reason to be mad. And he came out in an interview and said, this is not against the military. This is against police brutality. So if there's somebody mad at him, what he's doing, then you must agree with police out there killing people in the street. So I guess it's okay that people die for busted taillights and all that kind of stuff. So I guess that's okay. It's not okay. It's not okay. So I applaud him for it.
Mm-hmm.
I'll take another question.
Yes, okay. This is from Greg. Well, according to his wife, she said he was a lazy man. He didn't want to work. He wanted to be a crime boss. I guess that's referring to the brother that got choked to death.
Well, I'm going to tell you like this. I don't know about his wife. I didn't even know he's married. I don't think I've seen her before. I don't know, until she comes out and says this publicly. I mean, look, people can say what they want to say about people saying stuff that they probably didn't even say. We were having this issue a few years ago when he led the 49ers to the Super Bowl. You know, we weren't having this issue then. You know, who knows, between then and now, maybe he changed. You know, he probably got tired of seeing people getting killed in the street, and he decided to do something about it. I mean, people change all the time. It's a positive change. He wants to bring awareness to a problem that's going on. I don't have a problem with that. So I don't know what his wife said or allegedly said. I'm going to say she allegedly said it because I kind of don't believe that she would say something like that. But I guarantee you, once he gets a contract with a team and he gets out there and starts playing and starts throwing touchdowns, all these problems, they're going to go away, you know, because if somebody said it, I don't know who said it, but, you know, as long as black people out there, you know, as long as we're out there tap dancing, shuffling, and bouncing the ball down the court and throwing touchdowns, everybody's fine. But until that, and when that stops, all of a sudden people got a problem with it. You know, I don't like seeing people getting killed in the street. I don't care what color they are. But sit up here and say, you know, his wife. I don't know what his wife said. I have no idea. So I'm not even gonna listen to that because allegedly she said this or whoever this person is. I don't. So he's making a sacrifice to bring this to light, and I applaud him for it. And the people that, you know, are bent out of shape about it, that's their problem. You know. No, you're not mad at him. I mean, you take me, but you're not mad at the reason why he's doing it. So, you know, I'm just not understanding some of these people trying to justify, you know, with him doing what he's doing, or him, you know, snubbing his nose allegedly at the military. He said he didn't do it. That's not what this is about. But you know. People gotta duck and dodge and divert because they don't want to face the real issue. So they gotta pretend he's doing something he's not doing, and you know try to blow it out of proportion. You know, we're not falling for it. We're not gonna fall for it.
You know, Brother Anthony, unfortunately, the brother Eric Gardner. His wife did call him lazy on national TV on Sunday on Meet the Press. She was on with Al Sharpton. And she did. She called him lazy on national TV.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and you know, unfortunately, Al Sharpton was sitting there right with us. And I think he had a lot to do with that. And if you watch the clip, he doesn't even say a word. He don't say, well, you shouldn't say that or nothing. He sat there with approval because he coached her into saying that. Yeah.
Really?
He coached her into saying that. Because,
okay.
Yeah, if you look at the very first interview she did when, you know, he wasn't nowhere with her, she was like, I don't want your apology. Your apology ain't going to feed my children.
Right.
Next thing you know, the snake, Al Sharpton, got his teeth into her. Next thing you know, she coming on Meet the Press, and they didn't even ask the question, is your husband no good? She came out and said it, that he was lazy and this, that. And you look and you like, well, I'll be damned. Well, not I'll be damned, but she be damned. You know, they done murdered your husband for the world to see. And then you come back out on world TV that everybody watches Meet the Press, and you gonna come out and dog your husband on Meet the Press? What the fuck is wrong with you? Well, see, that's what we have in some of these women today. You know, they don't know how to be strong for their husband that's fighting the fight, but they'll be on the side of the enemy. You gotta watch out for women like that. No good bastard.
Well, I do apologize because I was sitting here thinking that it was Kaepernick's wife. I don't even know if he's married or not. See, I didn't see that. Wow, that's messed up. That is really messed up. So I apologize. I didn't know that. I'm about to look for that clip. I didn't know that. That's messed up. She would come out and say that. That's wow. And that's messed up. That is terrible.
But regardless, wow. I may add, regardless if he was lazy, that still doesn't justify in the way that he that they killed him, none whatsoever.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
That's right. Selling loose cigarettes. So that means you die in the street because you selling out there because you know trying to get your hustle on and they kill you out there for selling loose cigarettes. Huh. Okay. And that's kind of what I said. It's like, okay, so this man can die in the street for selling loose cigarettes, and that seems to be okay with some people.
Mm-hmm.
You know. Oh, wow. So I do apologize. I got my things messed up because I didn't know that she came on national TV and said something like that. That's blowing my mind right now. I did not know that. That is beyond messed up. Wow. Man, I can't believe that. Man, that's really messed up. Yeesh.
Yes, it is. You do have a couple more questions.
Okay.
This is from Vince. How can you prot out? Okay, how can you prot out words of our president, but not the deeds of the criminal? Why are you talking negative about the president, but nothing about MS-13? Who are killing black people? The president is trying to save black lives.
Okay, number one, what the president is doing is that he's trying to, and he's been doing this ever since he's been in office. He's playing that old game of divide and conquer. Okay, as you heard somebody in the clip say, MS-13 started in the United States, spread all over the place. Went down to South America, you know, where they got a rear issue down there. This guy doesn't care about trying to protect black people from MS-13. I mean, come on now. This is a game to him. He's not trying to protect. I mean, if you're a criminal, you break the law and you get arrested, that's on you. I'm not trying to protect the criminals from you know, that's not what I'm doing. But for him to come out and say, you know, I mean, what you going to do? You going to throw the heads in the side of the police car, you know, and then throw them in the back of the car and all that? No, because you know what's going to happen? Somebody's going to get a lawsuit. And then who's going to pay for that lawsuit when it goes to, if it goes to court, if it goes to trial? The taxpayers are going to pay that crap. We're going to pay that. In case some people listening don't know, I used to be a corrections officer. There were certain things that we could and couldn't do while working in the prison. And if we broke the rules while working in the prison, we could have been fired. You know, just because these people are criminals and they commit crime, they're still human beings, and you still got to treat them like human beings, even though they're criminals. So you just can't, you know, I just couldn't walk in somebody's cell and just throw him up against the wall and beat him with a club and spray him in the face with pepper spray and all that kind of stuff. If I would have done some stuff like that, they would have fired me. You can't do that kind of stuff. So, yeah, I'm going to continue to talk junk about this president because he is not trying to protect nobody. He's not, it's a game to him. He's not trying to protect us from MS-13. It's not like the MS-13 is roaming the neighborhoods around here and killing people in the street. That's not what they're doing. If they were doing that, yeah, that's cool, but that's not what's happening. You know, he wants to blow this stuff up, and he inflates the numbers, and he makes up stories, and he makes it look like they're out in the, you know, they're just out in the suburbs, just you know, raping women and looting and setting houses on fire and all. That's not what they're doing. That is not what they're doing. And I don't like gangs. So I'm not going to sit there and pretend that I'm some kind of gang lover. I don't like gangs. It doesn't matter if it's MS-13. It doesn't matter if they're Crips or Bloods or whatever. I don't like gangs. So if you're going to get rid of the gangs, then get rid of them the right way. Use the laws. That's what we have laws in this country for. I mean, my thing is, and you know, you can't have it both ways. You can't sit up here and say that this is a country of laws, but then you want to break the law because you're trying to justify the means and just have something, well, I'm going to justify doing this. But, you know, we've got laws in this country. So either you're going to follow the laws or you're not. You know, either you're going to have stoplights or you ain't going to have stoplights. Either you're going to have speed limits or you ain't going to have speed limits. I mean, it can't be, you know, you can't sit up and have this one way. It's either got to be you all follow the rules or you go to jail or prison, or either you follow them or you don't. You know, you can't do that kind of stuff. You know, and we all know the game that he's playing, and it's just the people that are aware of what he's doing are the ones that are seeing what he's trying to do. It's just the people. There's some people that don't see what he's doing. They haven't woken up yet to see what he's doing, so they don't have a clue. So they think it's okay. It's not okay. It's not okay for the cops. Yeah. You know, I mean, hell, if that's the case, you can just have the cops come knocking on people, breaking in people's houses, just because they can do it. Just because you have a badge, that mean you can sit there and break the laws because you think you're the law. No, you got a badge on. That don't give you the right to do that kind of stuff. You can't do that. So these cops out here killing people for no reason. And then the Walter Scott case in South Carolina, the cop shot him in the back when he was running away. And then he tried to plant his taser on her to pretend that he did something. And then it was caught on video. What kind of mess is that? When I worked in the prison, they told us that if we were escorting a prisoner out, you know, because a lot of times we would, you know, they would go to outside hospitals. If the prisoner decided he wanted to run away from us, we couldn't shoot him in the back. Even though we had a 357 strapped on our hip, we couldn't shoot him in the back. Because if that would have happened, oh, yeah, you getting fired, you getting charged, and you going to jail. So why are these cops out here shooting people in the back and all this kind of stuff? With the Walter Scott case, you know, he was scared. He ran off. The cop was standing there right at his car. He could have traced him. He could have found his address out by doing a plate check. Because he was scared, he probably would have ran home. So how can you justify getting shot in the back for, you know, having a busted taillight? It doesn't make any sense. So, yeah, I'm going to continue to get on Trump because he's not my president. And he's not going to sit up here and pretend that all of a sudden he's worried about, you know, these gangs. No, that's just a front for him trying to build this wall that ain't going to work for him because him and Republicans don't like immigrants, even though Trump's people, his people are from Germany. You know, he forgets to talk about that. His people are from Germany. So that means, you know, his people didn't just sprout from the ground here in America. They came from over there and came over here. And his granddaddy was a pimp and a drug dealer. Won't tell you about that. So, I mean, all this front, all of a sudden, he wants, you know, crime and everything, you know, he law and order. That's just the front. So I'm not falling for it. And a lot of other people ain't falling for it either. So, mm-hmm. I know I kind of went long on that one. So, you got another one for me?
Yes. I have, yes, sir. We have some more. From Michael.
Cool.
People, yes, sir. People watch rebels in general to get their minds off work, politics, and worries. To the fan, watching sports is a relief. Bringing politics into sports is a very bad idea. Hence the down rating. Play football, collect your check, hold on, and when you are off the field, run through the streets, naked, screaming, "This guy's falling for all they care." When I turn on football, when I turn on football, I think I can speak for a large majority here. I don't want to see your personal political protest out on the field. I want to see some deep passes, mind-bending tackles, amazing athleticism,
team effort, et cetera. Do what you are paid for. I don't do that crap at work. What makes you special? And of the comment.
Okay. Well, I tell you what. Matter of fact, football season, preseason starts this week. Okay. And I'll be glad when it starts because I'm a big time football fan. But look, the national anthem, when they play it, they only play it for what? 5 minutes maybe, tops. Okay. So you know what I'm doing when they play the national anthem? I'm either using the bathroom or getting ready to go get me something to eat, get ready for this game. You know, and I play fantasy football, so I've got my laptop, and I'm getting my stats together because I'm getting ready to, you know, see if I can win for that particular week. I'm not even paying attention to the national anthem. And a bunch of people aren't paying attention to it either. After the song is played, what do? People cheer, the jets fly overhead, and then the game starts. And everybody forgets about it. Half the time, they forget about who even sings it. And then when they start scoring touchdowns, you don't even think about you don't even think about the first 5 minutes when the game starts. I couldn't tell you who sing it most of the time because when they get ready to get started, I always go find something else to do until they finish. So that little bit, 5 minutes, won't affect nothing. I mean, to me, that's just an excuse. It don't affect anything. It don't even last that long to affect anything. Because when they're doing it, a lot of people, and they won't admit to it, they're doing something else. And they know it. Either you in the kitchen getting ready to get you a big bowl of wings, get you a big bowl of potato chips, get ready to get your eat on, you're doing something else. A lot of people could care less about who's singing the national anthem or what they're out there doing because they do the same thing every time they do it. They get a humongous flag out there in the middle of the field. They get people out there standing at attention with their hands over their heart, person out there singing it. After they sing it, the jets fly overhead, they cheer, they go to a commercial, and then the game starts. So who's actually sitting there thinking about, boy, that was – I don't know who's singing that song, but, whew, boy, that just moved me. That just brought me to tears. I don't even think I can sit here and watch the game. I'm just so emotional that, oh, my goodness, that was just great. Who does that? Nobody. They do what they got to do in 5 minutes or 10 minutes, however long it takes, and then it's over, and then the game starts, and then we're about to get our game on. That's it. So, I mean, I see what you're saying, but I'm not buying it because, because look, in the real world, when I'm at home and I'm getting ready to get – no, I don't pay attention to it. Like millions of other people probably do the same thing I do. Either you go into the bathroom so you don't have to, mess up you watching the game, or you about to get your food together, or you doing something else before the game starts because you're waiting for the game to start. I think what they ought to just do, they just do like they used to do back in the day, just have everybody wait in the locker room until they finish singing it. And then whenever they finish singing it, then they can come out on the field, and then they go to a commercial break, and then they start the game. I think they should go back to doing that. So that way you don't know who's doing what in the locker room because you can't see them unless they take a camera back there. And that way it'll just get rid of a whole lot of this stuff, you know, and all these fake Patriots will go back to doing whatever they were doing before this stuff started. Everything will be lovely, and they'll just go back to not even pretending that police brutality in this country don't exist like they've been doing, and everything will be back to their little normal whatever that is thing, whatever. So, you know. Anyway, you know what? The clock says I got about 13 minutes left, and I didn't even play any of the clips. So this may be a part two for next week, I guess. And plus, they cheated me out of 30 minutes anyway. So it's all good. It's all good. So you got any more questions? I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll just go ahead and I'll just answer questions for the last few minutes of the game. I mean, not the game.
Ooh.
Of the program. Well, I'm ready. I'm getting ready.
Yeah.
Well, I'll answer questions, and then we'll just do a part two of this next week. So, yeah, if you got another question for me, I'll answer it.
I've got several more. This is from Raymond.
Okay.
A million quarterback can't find a job in the NFL but a killer of dollar skins or players that beat women or players that take illegal drugs multiple times can. What the F?
I applaud that person for bringing that up because he is exactly right. He is exactly right. Michael Vick, phenomenal quarterback. Phenomenal. He ended up having a dog ring. He goes to prison. He comes back. He gets a job. You have people abusing their wives and girlfriends. They get suspended. They get some money taken away from. They come right back to what they always been doing. I mean, my thing is, you know, Colin Kaepernick could have killed somebody in a drunken driving thing or whatever, you know, and they would have let him back in. You know, see, this stuff is not right. I'm not one of those people that are really worried because I think he's gonna end up with a job somewhere. Because what's gonna happen, and people that follow football know this, there's gonna be somewhere that a quarterback is gonna get hurt, a starting quarterback is gonna get hurt, and they're gonna have to have somebody come in and take their place until they come back. It's a given. It's gonna happen. So I don't think he's gonna be out of a job for long. And I wouldn't mind if he did go to Baltimore. I'm not a Baltimore Ravens fan, but I do follow Baltimore because I've got relatives that live in Baltimore. I love Baltimore. I think Baltimore gets a lot of bad press. I mean, I go to Baltimore every year. Baltimore is like my second home. I used to spend my summers when I was in high school in Baltimore every year. I mean, I'd get out of school. Our last day of school would be on a Friday. I'm on my way to Baltimore on that Monday. I've taken that weekend to pack my stuff, and I'd go up there and I'd spend the entire summer in Baltimore. I love Baltimore. So I kind of hope he does go to Baltimore because there's going to be somewhere out there that a starting quarterback is going to get hurt, probably during preseason. And I that's why I kind of don't like preseason because, you know, there's too much of a risk of people getting hurt. And then it messes up your whole season. So I got a feeling he's gonna get a job somewhere. And that person made that comment is exactly right. Exactly right. You know, you can do everything else and get a job in the NFL, but the first time you come out and he's got a right to protest. We all have rights, have a right to protest, you know. And he's exactly right. If he would have went out there and did something opposite of what he's doing right now, he'd have a job already. And I think a lot of this stuff is out of spite because a lot of the quarterbacks that had gotten picked up before him, their numbers don't even match to his number, you know? He is being blackballed. I really believe that. So, yeah. So I just want to give props to that Raymond. I want to give props to Raymond because you are my brother.
Yes, right.
You are, my brother, you are exactly right. You hit the nail right on the head. You're right. You're right. You are exactly right.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll take the next question.
Okay.
Or comment.
All right. We still have some more coming in. All right. This is from Bill. I have no sympathy for a guy who made $14 million last year. Does he really need our help?
Think it's about our help. I just think what he's doing is that he's doing what anybody else would do. He's shining a light on a problem that we have in this country that some people just don't want to. There are a lot of people in this country that don't see what this problem is, and there are a lot of us in this country, we see it. There are just cops out there killing people for stupid stuff. You know, look, the job of a police officer is to protect the citizens. That's number one. They get paid to protect. I know it's a hard job. There was a time that I had thought about being a cop, but I didn't go through the process because at the time, you know, I know how dangerous that job is, and I have children, and I didn't want to take that chance and something happened to me. But I applaud police officers. I don't have a problem with police officers because they have a very, very difficult job to do. I give them mad props, but just because they're out there, you know, with a badge and a gun, that doesn't give them the right to kill people
I mean, that's just point blank. So he doesn't need our help, but what he's doing, he's just trying to bring a problem to the forefront that we have it. Because, like I said, a lot of people just pretend that we don't have this problem, and we got this problem. You know, I said this before. It takes you longer in some states in this country, it takes you longer to go to school to be a hairdresser than it does to be a police officer. You know, because a lot of these police academies, they go to school for two, three, four, five, maybe 6 months. And then in some of these states, if you want to go to a cosmetology school for a year, maybe a year and a half to do hair. So that's something's not right. When I was a correction officer, I didn't go to school right away. I did kind of on-the-job training, and then I went to school for 30 days where they taught me everything, the rules. You know, we had to shoot guns. We had hand-to-hand, stuff like that. We went to school for 30 days. That was it. And then we were certified. Then we graduated. We had a graduation party. We got our certificates, and then we were certified. 30 days.
Wow.
30 days. But if I want to go to school to learn how to cut hair, I'd have to go to school for at least a year just to cut hair. So something funky. So yeah, he makes a lot of money, but he gives to charities. He's doing what he thinks he should do. So it's not saying that he needs our help. I just think that what he's doing is great, and more people need to do it. But I think a lot of people are scared to do it because of what's going on, because they're scared of what other people are going to say about them. They're scared of the backlash. So I think I think other people should do it too. I my thing is that if you see something wrong, you should say something about it. You shouldn't just sit up there and pretend that you don't see it. So that's what he's doing. Just because he's a football player, I mean, movie stars do it. I mean, regular people do. I mean, we're doing it on this network. We talk about stuff like this every week, every day. We talk about stuff like this, issues.
Okay.
So, you know, if it wasn't us doing it, it might be somebody else. Or it might not be nobody else because somebody might be too scared to even do it. I talk about this kind of stuff every week, you know, and I'm not scared of people may be offended, you know, upset that I talk about some of this stuff, you know, and I talk about slavery and slavery revolts and plantation police and, you know, black people being lynched, being murdered, Emmett Till. I mean, the list goes on and on. People may hear them and be upset that I'm talking about it. I don't care. History is history. Facts are facts. Somebody's got to talk about it. I got children. They need to know that, you know, I got children and a granddaughter. And they're going to learn, and I tell them every day, I'm not going to lie to you. I'm going to tell you straight up. And I think that a lot of us should be doing that. We should be telling our kids the truth. We shouldn't sugarcoat it, even if it is bad. Shouldn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
Shouldn't do it.
That's right.
Next question.
Okay, the next question is from Chuck, I believe. And it is, football is an American sport, and we don't need any American hating punks playing. Americans return the talent and will stop buying tickets. Colin needs to move to Cuba where he can be happy. End quote.
Boy, I just love when you try to talk to these people and they say that we can leave. I hate to tell it to you like this, and I'm not trying to be mean to nothing, but I don't know if you know this, and I've done shows on this. You can go back into archives and find them, but I hate to tell you this, but black people built this country, so we shouldn't have to leave. So if you're one of those people that, you know, say that, you know, if all of a sudden black people are upset about this or that and we should leave the country, well, I tell you what, white people should leave the country too. Y'all should go back to Europe, because that's where a lot of the white people came from, England, Europe, you know. So why should he leave? He was born here. This is his country just like it is everybody else's. He shouldn't have to go anywhere. And, that kills me. It's like, you know, if you disagree with Donald Trump, you know, you can always leave.
I mean, if you disagree with somebody that don't like Kaepernick taking the knee, then we should go. Well, I tell you what, and I tell people this all the time, it usually shuts the argument down real quick. If you don't like what I'm saying and you want me to leave, then come help me pack. You know, get me a plane ticket to wherever you want me to go and help me pack, and then see if you're going to get me in the cab to get me to the airport and get me on that plane. That's my challenge to you. Come to my house and help me pack my stuff. And then shove me in a cab, and then shove me out of the cab into a plane, and you know, you buy the ticket, and then you have that plane take me to where you think I should go. You know, that kills me when people say that. You know, if you don't like it here, you can leave. Bullshit. I don't have to go anywhere. You know, just because I don't agree with what you're saying, I have to leave the country. All of a sudden, he's got to go. Please, we don't have to go anywhere. Our ancestors built this country from the ground up. All the Europeans did when they came over here, they killed the Native Americans. They either shot them or they gave them smallpox. And then when they decided to go over to Africa and take my people and bring them over here to build this country, they just stood by and just watched them build everything, and then they took the credit for it. So we shouldn't have to go anywhere. You know, if that's the case, and how about, you know, if now all of a sudden, you know, you want everybody to go to, you know, that here, then, you know, Africans should go, you know, black people should go back to Africa, Europeans should go back to Europe. And then who's going to be left here? Native Americans. Because they were here first. So I hope I didn't take too long with that. Looks like I got about a minute left before they shut me down. So I'll take one more question, and hopefully it won't shut me off in the middle of the sentence. I hope. I was on the road there for a minute. I was saying I got 60 seconds left. I was only giving to 11:30.
One more? Would you like to take one more? Sir?
Yeah, I'll take one more. Yeah, I'll take one more.
Okay, yes, sir. Okay, this is from Constance. Do you think America would really give a damn about us? Why should we give a damn about saving America? We should want to burn it down, end quote.
You know what? I think a lot of people, especially a lot of black people, are starting to think that way. Because I think what happens, and I'll just use me as an example. I've been doing this show for almost 3 years. And doing this type of show, you have to read and you have to research, and when I do that, I always find stuff that I didn't know, so it's like waking me up, and I think a lot of black people in this country are waking up, and I do believe a lot of black people are getting to be like that, are starting to get that attitude, is that you know, just like Brother C said, in 2019 is going to be 400 years. 400 years, and you would think things would change, but things, you know, a lot of stuff in this country has not changed, and I think a lot of black people in this country are getting fed up with the way we're being treated. So, you know, I don't have a problem with that comment, because I think a lot of people, I'm not going to carry it to the extreme, but I think a lot of people, especially black people, are starting to wake up to the fact that, you know, the system was not made for us. The system stinks. And I go back to the story of the black veterans. Country wanted them to go fight overseas in World War II. And then when they come back, they get treated like shit. You know, they can't move into the house that they want to move into. They can't use the GI Bill. They can't do other things that, you know, the other white veterans were able to do when they came back. And they're so messed up that then when they were overseas, they had to fight in segregated units. So, you know, so this thing about, you know, America is so great. You know, if you really open in your eyes and see what's happening, you already know it's a lie. America is not that great. I mean, it's probably better than some places. But, you know, to say that America is the greatest, no. America's had its fair of sins and doing people wrong and all that. So, I mean, we need to be honest with ourselves and stop sitting up here sugarcoating everything and pretending that everything is hunky-dory when it's not, because it's not like that, not at all. So what I'm going to do before it shuts me down, it only gave me an hour and a half, which I don't understand why, but it's pretty much the show is pretty much ended right now. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to save the clips and the topic. We're going to talk about this again next week, because hopefully next week he will be with the team. We'll see, because like I said, the preseason starts this week, so we'll see that hopefully he'll be with the team next week. So I'm going to save all the clips that I had. I'll save them for next week. We'll finish talking about this some more, because I'm sure we're going to keep – this is going to be something talking about over and over and over again. And I'll have the chat room open, and I'll answer some more questions. But I think it's cool that I was able to answer the questions. And we started talking about this, and I didn't play any of the clips or anything, which is fine. It's fine. I don't mind answering questions and everything, which is, you know, that's part of doing this. So what I'll do is I'll save all these clips for next week, and then we'll talk about it some more. And we're going to talk about Muhammad Ali. We're going to talk about Jim Brown, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. We're going to talk about some matter of fact, there's some stories I'm going to talk about tonight where they had some basketball players get kicked out of the league because they pretty much did the same thing. So we're going to talk about that too. So we're going to talk about this stuff next week, which is fine. I don't mind the questions. And you know, if you want to do the questions, send the questions in, please. You know, I'll answer them too. No problem. Because hopefully next week I'll have a full 2 hours, so we can get into this a little bit more. So that's great. And I'll have the chat room open too. So that'll work also. So what I'm going to do, end this show before it cuts me off. It's 11:34 on the East Coast. And it's usually, I'm done by 10. So I don't know, since it's so late at night, I don't know if I should do this in my Barry White voice or what. So I don't know. But next week, I'll be back on at 8 o'clock. So we'll go from 8 to 10 next week. So it'll be all good. So I just want to thank Brother Maurice for calling in. I want to thank Brother C for calling in. I want to thank Sister Pam calling in and giving me the questions. Thank y'all. As usual, y'all call in every week, and I appreciate it. But what I'll do is, Sister Pam, I'll just have her doing the questions next week. So everything, you know, so we'll pick this up again where we left off next week, regular time. I don't foresee me having any family business I got to take care of. So I'll be back next week, regular time, 8:00 p.m. Eastern time to 10:00 p.m. Eastern time, and we'll just go ahead and I'll just put a part two on this, and we'll just say next week be back. Athletes and Activism, Part 2. And we'll do this again next week. I appreciate everybody calling in, questions and all, and everything. Thank you, guys. I don't want to keep y'all up too late, because I know a lot of you got to go to work tomorrow, like I do. So I'm going to go ahead and say good night to everybody. Thanks again. I'll see you next week, 8 o'clock. Thank you again. I'll be back. Thank you. See you.
Thank you, big bro.